sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. We've done a healthy mix now of some national news, some local news, and we are going to stick to local for the next segment because, luckily, I am joined by Mike Crawford from the Young...
The most talented people. And this man may be the most of all, Michael Crawford.
Michael Crawford joins us now. I think I want to start, Mike, with the Karen Reed saga that continues. This Judge Gilday, very unhappy with the attorneys in this process. Have we figured out what leaks he is referring to or he's angry about when he's bringing in these lawyers? Do we even know what was leaked? And if we don't know what was leaked, how do we know anything was leaked?
We do know a little bit. We do know like a timestamp. We know it was posted on Twitter, and we have a general idea. It was about Michael Proctor and some of his medical issues.
Got it.
But we don't know exactly who tweeted it, and people have been speculating and going back and forth. There's obviously some suspects, the usual suspects, but I don't even want to reference anyone because I don't think it's fair. We don't know. The judge didn't share it. The whole thing was very unusual because he brought in 25 lawyers in to sit in person after they gave a written statement. All of them denied leaking. And then he just read off a script and didn't let the lawyers even make any type of input on what was going on in the courtroom. He didn't allow Alan Jackson, after he made Alan Jackson fly in from California, didn't allow him to speak. And then Karen's team actually did post a response and basically said, hey, judge, you may have made a mistake. Basically, we're not sure that this material was impounded when it was posted. And the judge actually took it off the docket and was like, this is inappropriate. It's not a motion. No more discussion on this. And he just doesn't want any discussion on it. It's very strange. But I think the judge just wanted to give everyone a warning. But at the same time, it's like, people want to know why, you know, what's actually going on here. And the whole thing was very strange. And today they're back. There's a motion to compel testimony. And a lot of the Free Karen Reed supporters have kind of turned on this judge because of these recent, you know, the recent ongoing saga here. But we'll see. We'll see how this judge is today with a motion to compel. It's not going to be on Zoom. We're hoping one of the networks is allowed to stream it. Sometimes they allow it, sometimes they don't. That's the other strange thing. But there's a lot happening in the Karen Reed right now. There's a lot of federal and state hearings in the civil. So it's very busy. It's very busy in the Karen Reed world with the suits going back and forth on the federal and the state civil cases.
Yeah, it seems like this judge is frustrated with how much of this is percolating on social media and how much attention a lot of this receives. But that is kind of the nature of this beast at this point. I mean, the Karen Reed, anything involving Karen Reed is going to bring with it kind of a circus. And that's just what happens. Mike, I wanted to also ask you about what's going on with the audit. So Diana DeSoglio has been in the news quite a bit over the last few days, and now she's focusing on the mass housing program that was actually the focus of spotlight by the Boston Globe. She's saying it reeks of fraud and corruption. This is her latest fight, but most of these fights that she's embarking on, she's just being met by stonewalling politicians. Do you think that's going to change?
No. Obviously not, especially with an election with Maura Healey not wanting to address any issues. It's wild. There was just a poll done about Maura Healey, and people couldn't name any major accomplishments. What has she done? But people are still going to vote for her. So that's kind of what we're dealing with the voters here, is they're still going to vote for her, even though they don't think she's done anything. And that's kind of Maura Healey. She's just trying to slide through and not let any of this be a reminder of how she really hasn't done anything to change the culture up there. And in fact, she's covering up. So it'll be interesting to see if the voters ever change their minds on her based on a lot of this. And this is why Mara Healey's going to block this. She doesn't want any of this to get out. The State House, they don't want it to get out. So that's why this is ongoing. It's just the same story with new scandals.
I want to read you, switching gears here to Sandra Birchmore, something Michelle McPhee posted 3 hours ago in LA Mag. Feds confirm FBI investigation into Stoughton PD connected to Sandra Birchmore. It says here that a new filing in the case of disgraced former Massachusetts police union official and longtime cop Matthew Farwell, who is being held without bail in connection with the 2021 murder of a young woman he is accused of sexually abusing, suggests the FBI is investigating other allegations connected to the Stoughton Police Department. I think, Mike, last time we spoke to you and we were talking about the Sandra Birchmore case, you did have these suspicions that this was going on.
Yeah, and a lot of her advocates, like there's a woman, Mizzy, who's close to the Sandra Birchmore family, she said that over and over again on all of these shows she's been a guest on. She feels like there's much more to it. So that's kind of, you know, how I referenced it and how I looked at it from Mizzy, because she's really tuned in with what's going on here with the family and every development. She's at court. And I also, like Michelle McPhee, she's been doing great coverage in LA Mag. Yeah, I think there is a lot more to this, and the court filings show it. And I think it's just a whether the feds are going to have enough to indict other people. Are other people going to be arrested? That's the question. I'm wondering if the feds are actually going to arrest anybody else. We'll see. It takes a lot for them to arrest. They have to have a mountain of evidence. That's how the feds operate. So we'll see. And even with the Matthew Farwell thing, I think this is a tough case for the feds.
Yeah.
You know, because they really, it's not a standard murder case. They have to prove that she was going to be a federal witness. That's really the issue I think the feds are going to have on Matthew Farwell. Otherwise, it's a slam dunk. But there is that issue where I think a state case would be much easier to bring against Matthew Farwell. State murder charges. It's really sad that the feds had to step in on this. So we'll see what happens. There's also a DA race. Be interesting to see if anyone else gets arrested after this new DA gets in office, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to actually tie this back in here. Maybe I did this in a reverse order, but when we talk about the Birchmore case, and we just talked about the Karen Reed case and how the judge there is unhappy with how he feels these attorneys are kind of curating things for social media, or, you know, going about things in a way that's meant to get more attention. But then you have Sandra Birchmore, and it falls under the same category of what would have been missing if it hadn't been for people on social media, if it hadn't been for podcasters and YouTubers who were, and I know Barstool had the podcast about Sandra Birchmore. There's been a lot of effort by people who are not part of the federal government or not part of a police agency or part of a private investigating agency. So those people, as much as it might be frustrating for a judge in some of these cases, those people have moved the ball down the field in a lot of these cases here in Massachusetts. And I wonder if the feds are now getting some of their tips or kind of focusing in on certain things based off that social media presence.
Oh, totally. It's funny because there was some reporting about Sandra Birchmore right when it first happened, when the kind of scandal was kind of bubbling. There was some like newspaper reporting. I even did a show, an episode way back before Barstool, but it didn't really catch on until what you said, until Kirk Minahane did that case series on it. That's when it blew up. That's
right.
When I think the feds took notice. I think everybody in the world took notice. So yeah, I think sometimes the feds are watching what's being said and what's being uncovered. And a lot of the facts that were uncovered, especially like you said, that case podcast, they got the video. The video, that was when I saw that video, I was like, wow. Like, it was obvious to me that Matthew Farwell had a lot of questions to answer, because this guy's an anti-masker wearing a mask. I mean, it's that simple. It's just that simple. And his demeanor in that video, leaving Sandra Birchmore's, you know, apartment that night. So there's a lot there, and I absolutely think that the feds are watching a lot of this and watching, you know, seeing what the witnesses are doing, you know, and seeing what the, you know, people that they're focusing on, what they're saying to each other. I'm sure they're checking their text and following them around and going through their trash and all the usual things the feds do. I'm sure they're doing that with many targets on this. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, and as much as I talk about how social media can be helpful and can be very productive in some of these cases, we should also talk about the downside, which I think brings us to Tyler Robinson. I mean, this Charlie Kirk killing, the suspect in Charlie Kirk's killing, there has been so much noise around this man and really trying to prove that he wasn't involved. And you want to talk about a lot of video evidence and a lot of proof that he was there that day. That's not stopping the conspiracy theorist, Mike, from coming up with a million other reasons why it's someone besides Tyler Robinson. Do you think that's going to work in court?
No, and the defense doesn't either. You know, the difference between, like, it's funny because I'm getting some pushback because I agree with everything that you just said. The Candace Owens of the world, she's been discredited. The facts don't back up her narrative. She has been misreporting. It's very clear. She said, you know, this guy Twiggs never, you know, she said a lot of things that turned out not to be true that have been shown in court not to be true. And if you really look at it, the defense is not using any of the Candace Owens stuff. They're basically trying to keep out videos. They're trying to keep out the evidence. The difference between Karen Reed and this Tyler Robinson, Karen Reed wanted all the text in. She wanted Proctor. She wanted all the evidence, the Sally poll. Remember, she was asking for everything to be included. Where Tyler Robinson's defense is ignoring Candace Owens, and they don't want any videos or text to be shown. They're trying to cover everything up. They don't even want us to see it on the screen. So they've been fighting tooth and nail. This guy admitted it. He admitted it. He admitted it to several people in this
and
video.
Said he wished he hadn't done it shortly thereafter, yeah. Crying, saying he wished he hadn't done it. The part of it that I find really, really frustrating as far as the Candace Owens goes is that they took something where people should have been outraged because Charlie Kirk was brutally murdered, and they made it into a way to make money for themselves and a way to grift off it and a way to, you know, get clicks and get viewership instead of getting justice for Charlie Kirk, who's never going to come back. He's never going to see his kids. And instead they use it as an opportunity to promote themselves and enrich themselves and to mislead a lot of gullible people who have fallen down these rabbit holes. It's really sad. So I guess what the theme of this segment, Mike, it's like the good side and the bad side of developing these social media presences and trying to uncover things. It can go south real quick. Mike Crawford from The Young Jerks. Everyone should check out The Young Jerks on YouTube. That's where you can find him. And you can also find him there on X. We will be right back. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Before I went to Perfect Smiles, I honestly didn't realize how much my TMJ was affecting my daily life. I did realize it a little bit because I went in and I got Botox. Because what would happen was it would get to a point where I couldn't sleep. It hurt so bad. And so I finally said, okay, I'm going to pay. I'm going to get Botox. I wasn't happy about getting Botox. It wasn't even going to take away my wrinkles. Like, here I am getting Botox and I'm not even getting it in the good spots. I'm getting it in my jaw. But I got it and it worked. The first time it worked, I was very, very happy. Then I went in a second time, didn't work anymore. And so when I went in to see Dr. Tam, I wanted to fix my crooked bottom teeth. But what I didn't realize was by getting my smile aligned properly, my TMJ was going to go away. And that's exactly what happened. I haven't had an issue with my TMJ since I started the Invisalign. And I finished the Invisalign. I still wear my retainers, but I finished the Invisalign process a few months ago, and it has not come back. And I think that's just because when you take care of your smile, when you fix those issues, and yeah, it's for me, it was cosmetic, but the good part was that it ended up being more than cosmetic because my smile looks nicer now, but also I feel better because it did fix the underlying issue of my TMJ. So if you have constant jaw pain or if you have a cosmetic issue with your smile that you want to fix, don't put it off. Do what I did. Go to Perfect Smiles. My only regret was I didn't bring it up right when I started here at the Howie Carr Network because I really do feel so happy with my smile, so proud of my smile. So that's perfectsmiles.com if you want to visit them today. Call Melissa. It's 603-595-6699. That's 603-595-6699 or go to perfectsmiles.com. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I love Graham Platner waiting to officially end his Senate bid till Monday, because it speaks so much to who he is as a person, doesn't it, Taylor? It's like he's inconsiderate until the final moment. And you guys were cool with that until you weren't. This is what you get now. He's not going to make it easy for you. He's not considering your feelings or what you want to do. He's worried about himself. He's going to do the most selfish thing possible. You know what I think he might be? And I don't use this term all the time. He's giving narcissist vibes. He's giving, not only is he going to bow out and he's mad about it, but he's going to burn this whole place down. Like Chris Cuomo leaving CNN. You think you're going to screw me over? You're going down too. Speaking of going down too, that's something that Trump...
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Trump was trolling the media, because now that this plot came out to the Wall Street Journal about Iran having an assassination plot against Trump, which I kind of thought was, we all knew that this is happening at all times. He was on Air Force One with the media, and this is what he told them. This is cut 7.
Do you know why they had us close our window blinds? That was not usual. Well, yeah, because probably on a dangerous flight because of the sleazebags that we have to deal with.
So you think that Iran was possibly thinking of trying
to... Well, I mean, if they asked you to close your windows, probably they feel that way. They didn't ask me to close mine, but if they did, I would have done it. No, these are sick people. So I could see something like that. I didn't know they did that, but I could see something like that.
Were you aware of any credible threat by Iran against Air Force
One? Well, I have
a
threat all the time. I'm number one on their list before you. But if I go, you go. Right?
But was there a specific
perhaps someday you want to change professions.
Yeah, it's a package deal. It is a package deal. You got to love how easygoing. He's breezily just explaining how if they try to kill me, if I ran. He also told the press that he has a very specific set of instructions if Iran is successful in assassinating him, which, of course, we hope doesn't happen. But it involves a lot of bombs. Now, I wanted to just give a quick heads up to Luigi Mangione, to Kilmar Abrego-Garcia, to so many people that have been championed by Democrats over the last couple of years. There's a new sheriff in town. If you haven't seen this story, there, Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, where all of this fraud is just running rampant, he pardoned a repeat child rapist, and Marco Rubio revoked his legal status. So I want to listen to Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, and then we'll talk about how this man could become the new face of the Democrat movement. This is Cut 5.
Just weeks ago, a convicted sex offender and a foreign national was shielded from deportation by the governor of Minnesota. Laotian national Tu Li Vang was convicted of repeatedly sexually abusing a 10-year-old girl in the state of Minnesota. He even tried to pay his victim for her silence, and he called his heinous crimes a minor thing. Just days before this foreign sex offender was scheduled to be deported, Tim Walz, the governor, issued him a pardon, setting him free to once again endanger the children of America. Well, this week, I revoked his legal status in the United States, and as a result, federal agents took him into custody, and as of today, he has been removed from the United States. Because of our action, this foreign criminal will never pose a threat to any American ever again. Americans must never be forced by their elected leaders to live alongside foreign sex criminals who have no right to begin with to reside in our country. This administration will always stand with the American people and defend them from violent criminals.
Yeah, one of the talking points from Democrats now is if you bring up these rapists or these drug dealers, they say, well, of course, we don't want those people in the country. But Trump's not going after the worst of the worst. But yet, when he does go after the worst of the worst, you still have a problem with it. You still have a governor in Minnesota who's shielding that man. So really, where is the bar here? How bad does someone have to be? The child rapist doesn't seem to meet the threshold of someone you want deported. So who does? We'll be right back. I've got one more cut about Americans being killed by illegal aliens that I want to play. And then we're going to talk Stanley Cup drama and Katie Porter's Yelp reviews. Don't go anywhere.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Sometimes I don't... I don't talk about what I deal with here. You know, I don't talk about what's going on behind the scenes because I don't want to burden you guys with some of the absolute nonsense that this man to my right is throwing at me. I'm standing out there getting ready to come back in for the next segment and tell people what you said to me out of the clear blue.
Sometimes I just like to share things about my life. And I said, you know, for my first car, when I was 16 years old, I almost bought a Lincoln Town Car limousine. It wasn't a super stretch or anything. It was just like an added row, like a business limousine. They came through the Honeydew Drive-In, and
you were working.
I was working at Honeydew Donuts, and it had a for sale sign on it for $1,500. So I had them come over to my house after. And
oh God!
So I could check out the car. And it's pretty clean. It looked pretty cool.
Were you living with your parents?
Yes.
So were your parents?
I was 16.
They were seeing this interaction.
Yeah, my father
were they concerned?
My father was, you know, he went through the motions of looking at it with me.
Oh, he indulged you. That's so sweet.
But he said, where are you going to park this? You can't park this at school. He can't drive to school in a limousine. Said, why not?
Taylor's sitting there at the secret blazer in his fedora is going, why not, Dad? You know what he was probably afraid of, too, beyond just you showing up to school and getting picked on, is like, then you are inevitably going to start trying to drive people around.
Yeah, that's a business. I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And he probably just didn't want you taking that on at 16. Now he's going to be...
Dad was right.
So, I was just going to ask you, do you think that he was right? Or do you, when you saw this pop up on Facebook Marketplace, do you regret it?
Yeah, I just saw it. Not that one, but I just saw another limousine on Marketplace. And no, I don't regret it.
But you do think, like, where would my life have gone?
Also, almost bought a 1961 Cadillac.
I mean, so much could have changed.
Oh,
yeah. You could have had, think about this, you could have had a business. Frank Sinatra singer. Also driving you places. So kids going to prom, for example, they get in the car, and you're driving.
It's like carpool karaoke.
Yeah, you're driving and singing at the same time.
Mm.
And they're thinking, wow, this is a wacky experience I'm having. Yeah, I think it was probably the right call, though. Today's poll question is brought to you. This is just so you guys know that that's what I'm dealing with. That's the stuff that's getting thrown at me.
Sorry,
during the breaks.
I brighten up your day every now and then.
Today's poll question. I think it's so sweet that your dad was like, oh, let me check it out. In his head, he's like, hell no. What are you, nuts? You driving around in a limo? That's what you need to add in here to your high school experience.
His first car was a 61 Caddy, too.
Okay. I still think dad was right in that.
Yes,
in that
he
case.
Was right.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint. Located in Ware, New Hampshire, Silver Dave will work with you directly, so contact him at localsilvermint.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who has more leverage right now in the Brigham and Women's Hospital strike? The hospital, the nurses, or neither?
I'm actually going to say the hospital now, because I think that it was a day strike. It definitely caused commotion. They had to bring in nurses for 5 days, but now you've made it clear you want to come back. Even though nothing's really been settled, so I'm going to say the hospital.
49% say the hospital, 19% say the nurses, 32% say neither.
I wanted to play one more cut, and then we have two kind of meaty stories that we need to get into. But I wanted to play, since we just had Marco Rubio explaining how they're deporting a child rapist that Tim Walz pardoned, because that's what the governor of Minnesota is doing. He doesn't spend his time concerned about fraud or child rapists, unless he's trying to protect fraud and child rapists. But this is Anna Navarro, because I thought she got clocked on CNN by this woman, Caroline Sunshine, when she was naming people who have had shootings with ICE. This is cut six.
They have made efforts to try to get the abuses and excesses of ICE out of the headlines after Minnesota, which was, I think, such an outrage for most Americans when they saw people being killed in the streets of our country. This last case, it's not, again, it's something else that's not happening in a vacuum. It's the latest case that's happened, but there's been now at least 5 people killed by ICE in the streets of America. Ruben Rey Martinez, they killed a young man, they killed in San Padre Island in Texas. Silverio Villegas Gonzalez, Keith Porter, they killed him in LA. Renee Good and Alex Preddy, they killed them in Minnesota, and now Lorenzo Salgado Araujo. There's been over.
Do you know the names as well of Americans who've been killed by illegal immigrants? Do you have that list?
I know some of the. I know some of the names. I don't have the list, but I do know some of the names.
What are their names? What are some of their names?
Listen, we have heard all of the names.
No, just what are some of the names?
This is not me doing a contest of whether you know the names or whether I know the names. I want to pronounce. I want to pronounce these names. Because I think it's because I think we need to put names and faces and stories.
To, right? Absolutely. To,
okay.
And,
so
and to the faces of Americans talk, who have been
okay,
killed
but
by
but the people they killed,
well,
the people they killed,
absolutely
don't
have
criminal records.
Well, she says the people they killed didn't have criminal records. Did Sheridan Gorman have a criminal record? Did Lake and Riley have a criminal record? What's criminal about taking a jog or going to see the Northern Lights? Is that criminal? Rachel Morin is being a mother of five. That's okay. That those people were killed. Katie Abraham, going for a drive, killed by a drunk driving illegal alien. And it's not. Oh, now it's not a contest. But when you were naming off your five, and then you want to tell us, and this is one of my favorite tropes that these Democrats always fall into. Oh yeah, well I know some of you get into specifics with Democrats. It's the quickest way to dismantle their argument. It's like when they say, so many rights are being stripped away. Well, oh, so many? Yeah, so many. Which ones? Too many to name. Okay, well, you don't need to name too many. I have just, how about just one? Throw a one. Oh, so you know some of their names. Can you name one? Can you name one? Can you name Lake and Riley? Can you name Rachel Morin? Can you name Katie Abraham? But you don't care. Like Sheridan Gorman's mother explained, you don't care because you know what the difference is? They're American citizens and they were killed by illegal aliens, so you don't think it's convenient. You think it's so inconvenient, in fact. You think it's so pointless that you don't even bother to learn their names. You don't even bother to learn their names knowing that you might be asked about it someday or you might have to report on them. So you don't care. They're dispensable. They should be pushed aside. They don't work for your narrative, so you don't bother to learn their names. But when you want to rattle off names that you think fit your narrative, then all of a sudden you're gonna be so, you know, stand on your soapbox. Well, learn their names, Ana Navarro. Learn their names.
Seems like a wonderful fellow. Elan Lopez Sanchez. A lot of people do that. Every time we hear a Hispanic name on TV, whether or not the anchor is Hispanic, we suddenly have to shapeshift into a perfect Hispanic accent. Police arrested 25-year-old Elan Alain Sanchez.
But she gets a pass on it because I know what that guy's saying. That's why I don't try to do it, but she's actually Hispanic. But yeah, she was laying it.
We also have her today on The View talking about that Marco Rubio cut we played earlier.
Running against Donald Trump in the next election, and I think Farrah
Griffin.
Most likely Republican candidate is Marco Rubio, a Cuban American. So keep that in mind too.
Oh, yeah. He's forgotten he's or Latino, not saying a damn thing while people getting deported.
Oh, no, he's saying a damn thing when people are being deported. He's talking a lot about the child rapist who's being deported. I don't think you're saying a damn thing about that. But Marco Rubio's always down to chat. He's very chatty. He's very proud of the people he's deporting because most sane people would be happy to report that they're deporting a child rapist unless you're insane, which is the left-wing party. You have to be insane to defend this. And again, they always went back to, well, I don't care. I don't want criminals here. That was always how they walked that line. I don't want criminals, but I think we can all agree that ICE showing up and trying to deport them, that they're acting a little bit irrational and that they're being a little aggressive. And I don't like the tactics. It's not about that I want the criminals here. I just don't like the tactics or the optics or the way it's being done. Okay, so now it's a child rapist and you're still not happy that person's being deported. It's a gang rapist. You're still not happy about it. So explain to me what kind of criminal it has to be for you to be on board. Because it doesn't seem like anyone is passing that litmus test. But she got rocked by that Caroline Sunshine. What a great point. You want to come out here and name names? Fine. But what about these young women? What about these young women who didn't, by the way, who didn't drive to an ICE operation and wield their car as a weapon or harass ICE agents? You know what they did? They went for a jog. They went on a walk in Chicago with their friends. That's the difference here. It's not, oh, the difference is that, oh, the people that ICE killed didn't have criminal records. The difference here is these women were going out and living their lives. They were not trying to get into antagonistic back and forth with law enforcement. Ana Navarro. What a clown that woman is. What an absolute clown. Okay, there are two big stories I really want to talk about, though. Totally non-political. First one, Katie Porter. Actually, Taylor, this ties into you, too, because I don't know if people know this, but Taylor has a habit of leaving Yelp reviews. Can I get the Karen alarm, please?
We have Here comes Karen.
Don't open up.
Beware of Karen.
Nazis don't belong in America.
Beware of Karen.
That was actually sound of when she was pouring the potatoes on her husband's head. Just kidding.
Out of my f***ing shop.
But you can imagine, can't you? This is from Red State. It says, Katie Porter's raging Karen Yelp meltdowns are exactly what you'd expect. Horrible experience. Okay, so here are some of the Yelp reviews that
These
she was leaving.
Some that she left.
Yes. This is what she wrote. I want to start with the blistering review she wrote for a local massage parlor.
Oof.
If you want consistent good service and want to patronize a place that treats employees with respect, this is the lady who screams at her staffers, get out of my shot! And she goes to other businesses and she's like, I hope everyone here is being treated with the utmost dignity and respect. I would never recommend this. I cannot continue in good conscience to be a patron, even though it is a very convenient location and a nice facility. It was a 500-word missive about the place and their poor service.
Sometimes you have to. You got to get into detail. Because people will ask follow-up questions. What happened? What was this experience?
Well, I'll tell you what happened when she dealt with Tony Pepperoni Pizzeria.
Oh, not Tony Pepperoni.
Tony Pepperoni didn't know what he had coming to him. She said, horrible service on delivery. I ordered at 4:39. I am told 35 to 40 minutes. I call to check at 40 minutes. Driver on way. I call again at 5:31, 52 minutes later. Porter wrote of Tony and his pizza place. He says driver will call me. He doesn't. This is like a horror film. I like how she writes with a lot of suspense, doesn't she, Taylor? She sets this up. You can tell this is taking up a lot of her time. I have 20 angry, hungry kids. Pizza was decent when it arrived, but allow ample time. You know what I want to say about Katie Porter and these Yelp reviews? Because I'm always fair. You might not believe that, but it's true. I respect that she acknowledges the good while piling on the bad. A lot of people just say, hey, pizza was decent, took too long, I'm not going to call them again. Not Katie Porter. She gets on there to break down the minute-by-minute wait time, and then she does say, pizza was decent when it arrived, which says to me, you're Katie Porter, you're an angry bird. You had to wait more. You had 20 angry, hungry kids, mini Katie Porters just sitting there angry. Everyone's angry. And you say pizza was decent. You know what that says to me, Taylor?
Would come back. Might.
Pizza said, that says to me pizza was phenomenal.
Ooh.
And that says that she hates this place, but she can't deny that the pizza was good. And the pizza, it was like the meatloaf that Chris Christie ate, and the meatloaf was good. Okay, so now we've got the cab company. I had a horrible experience with this company. I called the night before to book the cab for 6 a.m. At 6:03, no cab, so I called to check. 5 minutes away. She's not giving these people a lot of time.
No, you get at least a five-minute grace period.
Yeah, they say 6 o'clock, 6:03, you're already on the phone. Called again at 6:11, put on hold and disconnected. Ooh, that disconnect, that must send her through the roof. 6:15, told that original driver had never responded to call and they'd try someone else. It would be 5 minutes. 6:28, reinstalled. Again, this is like Kiefer Sutherland.
She wasn't wrong to call at 6:03, it sounds like.
6:28, reinstall three kids' car seats, loaded luggage in my car and drive frantically to SNA. I parked and tried to lug my three preschoolers and our stuff. You know what I'm not appreciating, though? See, I gave her grace. I said she acknowledges the good and the bad. I don't like how she's using these kids in all of the reviews. It's like, okay, and my kids, I had to lug my three preschoolers. I have 20 hungry kids here. It feels a little bit like you're using these kids as pawns in your Yelp games. And I don't like that. I've always stood firmly against that. Do not use children in your Yelp games, in your Yelp mind games. It's pretty crazy.
Have you left reviews?
No.
Really?
Unless they're a good review, where someone asks me, like, hey, can you leave a nice review if you had a good experience? And I'll say, yeah.
You must have had bad experiences at places.
Tons.
You've never left a bad review?
No. Wow. You know what my bad review is? I vote with my feet. I never come back. That's my bad review. And that is worth 1,000 Yelps.
Yep. It's not. It's just you.
I think most people are like me, though. But they just go, okay.
I leave a
Yelp review like they used to do it 30 years ago, where it's like, hey, not good. Not going to give you my business again. Thanks for trying.
I don't leave one unless it's an absurd experience.
You and Katie Porter, you've got some similarities.
Where trouble follows us wherever we go, and it's not our
fault. Where you're never the problem?
No, I'm not the problem.
All right, speaking of problems, the Stanley Cup story we're going to finish off the show with, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curly Show.
All right, so this is the other story I've been teasing. The Carolina Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup. And when you win the Stanley Cup, you get to engrave, I think it's up to 55 names. And the owner of the Hurricanes used the first two lines of the engraving. Seven names for him, his wife, and their five children. Now, there were a few players that didn't meet the threshold. You have to have, like, you have to play half the season games. There was one guy who was right underneath that where you could say, oh, they could have made an exception for him. They could have, you know, they could have argued that he could be on. But the part of it to me that boggles my mind, besides the fact that you just look like idiots, you really do. You just look like clowns. Your children didn't play in the stand. If I was this guy's kid, I'd be like, Dad, don't put us on the cup. That's so embarrassing. We didn't even play. We're not players. Keep it for the players. But then what they also do is they sometimes put, or a lot of times they put managers, they put coaches, they put, you know, team staff members. And the equipment manager, who's been with the team, Taylor, since 1976, Bobby Gorman is his name. Since when they were something else, the Whalers or something, he didn't get put on the cup. He got put on in 2006, but this new owner, I think he's a new owner, didn't put him on, and he put his five kids on. How are people this out to lunch? How are you not embarrassed by that? This goes back to like the Yelp thing. How are you not embarrassed that you're writing paragraphs on Yelp? How are you not embarrassed that you're engraving five?
Isn't this like an acceptance speech? You leave somebody out, you're going to piss somebody off. You're always going to piss somebody off.
But the equipment manager like works with the team. They're there for the games. Your children? Your five kids? It's not enough they got to see all the games?
Do they have a water boy that they missed too? I'm not equating the two jobs.
The kids don't have a job. The kids are just his kids. They're not in any way partaking in the hockey of it all, besides watching. That's like putting me on the cup. What do I have to do with it?
How do you know they're not strategizing?
That's true. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. Howie Carr is coming up next.